Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Golf is Tiger Woods, of course, or at least it was. Golf is thirsty, struggling duffers yearning for the 19th hole, and golf is money lost or won on a putt that lips out. But golf is also how numbers of people around the world, people who are caddies, groundskeepers, club pros, and purveyors of food and drink, make their living. In Indonesia's Aceh province, residents of a village that was devastated by the 2004 tsunami are rebuilding the golf course that had provided many of them with a livelihood. Chad Bouchard has our story.
Dressed in a canary yellow polo shirt, Indonesian trucking mogul Dedi Sukur whacks a long drive into what appears to be an abandoned lot. The ball lands near construction debris in a patch of pine trees. Not far from the tee, a handful of cows graze on the fairway. Boulders of bleached coral are strewn here and there. Palm tree trunks rise out of the landscape and stop, their tops snapped off like broken matchsticks. But this is no backyard driving range. This is the Suluwa Golf Course in Indonesia's Aceh province.
I'm so bad today.
Yeah, not so good. Some of the problem is the condition of the course, and the wind is too strong. Maybe better for surfing.
Anginnya juga terlalu kencang. Mungkin untuk surfing bagus.
Dedi follows his caddy, Saddam Shamsur, into the rough to find his ball. It turns up next to an old foundation block. Lucky for Dedi, house rules allow players to move their ball within a one-club radius to get clear of the extra hazards. Saddam says playing on this course takes patience and a forgiving disposition.
Harus tidak ngotot, jangan paksa.
You can't really push. You have to stay calm and just play.
Dedi may not be having a good day, but this is still his favorite spot to play golf. Squeezed between a horseshoe of jungle-topped mountains and pristine beaches, the course features stunning views. Suluwa may be in rough shape now, but once it was an 18-hole oasis that attracted jet-setters and professional talent from all over Asia. The greens were immaculate, and every hole boasted a small shelter where golfers could rest in the shade. That all changed instantly on December 26, 2004, when a 100-foot-high wall of water slammed into the coast of Aceh. Caddy Mohammed Jamal remembers how the tsunami left behind a wasteland strewn with debris, sand, and hundreds of bodies.
Everything was destroyed. Before, the facilities were nice, every hole had a shelter. Now, you can't even tell.
The tsunami wiped whole villages off the map. It killed 160,000 people in Aceh province alone. The population here in Lokna village dropped from 15,000 to about 400. When it lost the golf course, the village lost a major source of income. Suluwa had supported scores of greenskeepers, parking attendants, small food vendors, and waiters, as well as about 200 full-time caddies like Jamal and Saddam. At a makeshift caddy shack at the edge of the course, a couple dozen caddies play a game of dominoes and wait for players. Greenskeeper Jamil says restoring the course at first seemed like an impossible task.
We went to the golf course and looked at the ruins. It seemed like it could never be fixed because there was a lot of debris, a lot of fallen trees. We wondered, how are we going to fix it? We have to fix it. We have to bring it back. Then we made a plan to clean it up.
Lalu kami berpikir untuk membersihkan.
Over the last couple of years, the caddies have worked by hand, clearing away the wreckage of boats, houses, fishing nets, furniture, and other items carried here by the tsunami. They've managed to create 9 playable holes with crude miniature greens. Some of the players have come back, mostly out of loyalty. Jamil is now the head of the pool of about 50 remaining caddies who are only able to get part-time work on the course. He says the course is simply too important to give up.
It's responsible for so much of what I have. Family, children, school, my house. I built my house with money from this golf course. It means everything.
Lapangan golf bagi saya sangat penting.
Many of these caddies started hanging around the golf course nearly as soon as they could walk. I talk with Saddam at his home over Achenese coffee served in port glasses and strong enough to curl your hair. His house is one of scores of concrete clones built here after the tsunami with aid from Saudi Arabia. He recalls collecting golf balls on the course when he was a kid and selling them to players for $1 per pack of four.
Then one day, one of the caddies quit because one of his players was a little stingy, so I got hired. He went professional, and I was his full-time caddy. I lived at his house.
Those glory days are over now. He says after the tsunami, times were desperate. Work was nearly impossible to find in the aftermath.
I bought a motorcycle pedicab to haul stuff like wood and cement. I worked like that for a while. When I would make a little money, I'd give it to my wife. But then I got sick and sold it.
The course isn't anywhere near where it used to be, and neither is his income. Still, Saddam says his 3-year-old son is likely to take up the family profession.
It's up to him, but if the father is a caddy, the son becomes a caddy too, right? He already plays golf with sticks in the yard.
By the time his son grows up, he hopes Sulawa will be a fully functional 18-hole course again, drawing pro golfers and wealthy hobbyists as a stop on the Asian tour. Back out on the course, the wind has picked up and most players have gone for the day. A few caddies play a quick round. They pause for a snack between holes at a small fruit stand on the course that overlooks the ocean. Vendor Reti Marina chops open a fresh coconut with a machete. The mother of five says she makes about $5 a day, a little more on weekends when the course is busiest. One of her children works as a caddy.
Caddies have a good future. They get to know important people like police or public servants and often get jobs through those connections. Many caddies become successful.
But Rina's dreams for herself are more humble. She says she just wants more players to come back so she can make a good living again. For Only a Game, I'm Chad Bouchard.
Chad Bouchard's story about the Sulawa golf course will be featured in this week's program. We'll also be discussing Mark McGuire's shocking admission that he was using steroids throughout the years that he was hitting all those home runs and saving Major League Baseball from extinction. We'll examine the circumstances that led football fans at the University of Tennessee to riot when the coach bid them adieu on his way to Southern California, and we'll talk some pro football, too, now that the Pretenders have been eliminated from the NFL's postseason. Beyond all that, I'll be speaking with Carson Cunningham, who's written a book about various editions of the U.S. men's basketball team as they have performed in the Olympics since 1936, when they scored 19 points in the gold medal game and won. So join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.